Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear. Backed by above and beyond expertise, go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I have in my hand a book called Weird Ireland, an unofficial guide to the island. It is by Brinsley McNamara. Brinsley is sitting over there, and Brinsley is the perfect man to correct me because I said it was Dan Dooley's arm that was on display. And Brian Burke, very diplomatically as he walked out, said, "Donnelly, surely. This is the arm, remind me, this is the arm of a prize fighter that got detached and has toured the world."
That's right. Yeah, good morning, Anton. No, so yeah, Dan Donnelly. Brian was right speaking there. Dan Donnelly was an early 19th century champion Irish boxer. He fought a particularly famous bout in the Curra in County Kildare.
Oh, this is in the natural bowl in the middle of the Curra.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Donnelly's Hollow is the name of that natural hollow. Yeah. To this day, his footsteps from the fight when he left the bout are still visible. I've been there and there really are something. I think people might just walk into them to, like, you know, keep them going for a couple of hundred years. But who knows? I've not seen anyone do that. But no, when he died very young, actually, not that many years after the fight. And his arm was severed, and he was from his body after his burial. And where it changed possession a lot of different times. it is right now down in Kilcullen, very close to the very close to where the fight happened. But it's a long thing.
It's occasionally on display, isn't it? They whip it out behind the bar sometimes.
So it used to be in a bar. It used to be in a bar. It's not anymore. If you went to this bar in the 1970s, the Hideout in Kilcullen, it would have been actually on display in the bar. Now it's in private possession, and it is occasionally viewable during Heritage Week in August down in Kilcullen. Yeah.
Worth the price of admission alone.
There you go, absolutely.
We're good at keeping body parts. Oliver Plunkett's head, likewise. Yeah, he's floating around somewhere, isn't he?
He is. He's in Drogheda. Yeah, we've got a terrific tradition of light mummification in Ireland. So Oliver Plunkett, he's a 17th century Irish saint. He was a holy man that was persecuted and executed thereafter. And his head also did quite a few rounds around Europe in monasteries to preserve it. And, well, to hold on to it rather than preserve it, it's not in the best state going. In the early 20th century, ended up in Drogheda again and went on display for a long time there. And to this day, if you walk into the church there, St. Peter's Church, I think it is in Drogheda, you can see it totally for free.
And it's not just heads, not just humans. We have a good line in mummification with animals. The Christchurch mummification of the cat and mouse.
The cat and the mouse, yeah. I think that
These
was
brilliant.
That was an accidental mummification, if anything. We've got plenty of that too with bog bodies, accidental mummifications. But that was just a body of a 19th century cat and a rat that got stuck in an organ pipe. And thereafter was put on display in Christchurch, still there to be seen.
And the mummification, I assume, it sort of happens naturally because the crypts down in the bottom of Christchurch are both cool in temperature and relatively non-humid.
Cool and dry, yeah, non-humid, yeah, exactly the condition. Same reason that St. Meekan's mummies were so mummified for a very long time until this year when they were destroyed in a fire.
Now, you also, it's not just body parts. There's a whole lot of cultural stuff. There's a whole lot of geographical stuff. Culturally, one of the ones that I'm interested in that you have is the Wren Boys.
Mm-hmm.
They were what?
The Wren Boys are a St. Stephen's Day, the 26th of December, tradition in Ireland and other places too, but we'll talk about Ireland, where people would go around the countryside, dress up like, depending on where you were, dress up like different things. Sometimes they dressed up in very elaborate straw-made outfits. Sometimes they dressed up like it was Halloween. Sometimes they didn't wear anything. They wore clothes, but nothing particularly different.
Cold.
Yeah. and they would go door to door playing music and accepting donations. It actually a tradition that still goes on to this day. My brother-in-law in Roscommon did it when he was a child up until only not that long ago. So
I thought it went out in the 60s. It's still knocking around a bit.
Depending on where you are, in parts of Munster in particular, it's still very strong. In Roscommon, I know they still do it. It's just, it depends where.
Another text, by the way, just to keep you updated on the poinsettia situation. Anton, Poinsettias, I'm an avid listener and the bloody things usually die for me when I leave the shop. You're clearly not listening enough. Listen more, your poinsettias will survive. Ireland's Tasmania is the title you have given to Lambay Island. Lambay, interestingly, I didn't realise this, the largest privately owned island in Northwest Europe.
Maybe so, but it's also the biggest reservation of wallabies in Ireland, in which case too. There's a population of wild Australian wallabies living up there. Some of them were just put there by the owners back earlier on the 20th century, and the population sort of, like, they'd know their competition there, so they started thriving. There was excess wallabies in Dublin Zoo. They thought, all right, let's put them out there. So now there's quite a good population of wallabies up there hopping around the place on the island for anyone that cares to go look for them.
You would have thought that Ireland would be a depressing place to be a wallaby. It doesn't strike me as having the weather that they would want.
You would think so, but they don't have big spiders and snakes either, so I think they're going to be living it up here, you know?
The other one that you have is one that's close to my own heart because it's from my father's home place, the mystery of the Long Woman's Grave.
That's it. Yeah, that is a grave, we'll call it, in the Cooley Mountains in County Louth. It's a legendary sort of grave. It's supposedly the grave of a Spanish noblewoman who married a local chieftain's son, only to discover that this local chieftain's son had lost all of his land, his inheritance land, in a really bad bet. And in distress, threw herself off the mountain, was killed, and was buried in this grave.
Oh, but you have to, the manner by which she discovered it, he says to her that there is a spot in the Cooley Mountains that I can take you and that everything that you can see, I own. And he brings her to this wee hollow where all you can see is rocks about 50 feet away from you. And that was too much for her. But the spot is still up there. You can go up and put stones on her cairn if you feel inclined.
Yeah. Great ample parking there too, so easily done, you know.
Now, as we said, there's nothing else up there. I mean, you then need to keep going up the mountain to get a bit of decent view other than just her grave.
Pretty much. Another thing is it's super foggy up there all the time. So part of that where they could only see 50 feet ahead of them might have been just because it was so foggy up there. That's all she could see, you know.
Now, when we're talking mountains, the other one that you have that I think has been, some of them have been recently restored, the era signs from the Second World War. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, the era signs are, so in the Second World War, when Ireland, or at the time era, was neutral in the conflict, to stop Axis and Allied bombers, anyone accidentally bombing the country, they would put giant letters era at different parts of the coastline. There's about 80 of them.
Is there that many?
There's a lot of them, yeah, because it has to do pretty much the whole coastline, yeah.
I thought it was sort of there was one in Holt and one in Dalkey and that was about
There's loads of them. There's loads of them. And a lot of them, like you said, there, a lot of them are only being rediscovered because there was no need to maintain them. So gorse started growing over them. Anything started growing over them. So in some very dry summers, people start finding them again with aerial footage. No, there's about 80 of them. Not all of them are found and not all of them are well preserved, but there's a great example in Howth, in Belmullet, and on Achill Island. Yeah.
And a few people, I think locals in the areas around where some of them are, have gone about trying to restore them, haven't they, and clear away the gorse. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a big thing. That's even only just a very recent thing. People are only just realising how significant they are. They were sort of just in the way for a long time more than anything.
Text saying, does your guest know anything about Father Hegarty's rock in Buncrana, Donegal? I'd love to know more. I'm assuming the answer is no. You can't just know off the top of your head Father Hegarty's rock in Buncrana, can you?
The thing with my kind of knowledge is I might not know the answer, but I'll know where to get the answer. So I'll figure out about Father Hegarty's rock in Buncrana, County Donegal.
Will you let us know and we'll let them know?
I will indeed.
Text saying, I'm an avid listener and I have zero poinsettias. Am I still allowed to listen? Nope, that's it. Either buy a poinsettia or find something else to listen to on the weekends. The other one that is in this, because you have, as I say, you've cultural stuff, you've geographical stuff, but you also have some sort of modern facets of Ireland, or relatively modern, that have died out. Ham radio operators.
See, this is where I think the book is sort of set apart from other books similar, that it actually talks about a lot more modern phenomenon. Ham radio, one thing that really fascinated me is, so a ham radio is just amateur radio operating. It used to be very, very common in the latter part of the 20th century. Less common now, but there is still a lot of competitive ham radio operators in Ireland. It's a sport. Yeah, it's a sport. SOTA. It's called SOTA. It's where they climb a hill, send a signal, and they have to count how many signals that they're receiving, and people that are receiving signals have to count that too. It's a competitive sport, and every weekend in Ireland there's guys out doing this. It's a big subculture. Yeah, But then going back before that, in the days of pirate radio in Ireland, it was really, really common to use them as well. And there is that.
And it's very technical because they use, as I understand, they use shortwave and bounce it off the atmosphere so they can get halfway around the planet with some of their communications.
You can pick up, you could pick up truck drivers in Maine, USA, if you do it the right way, yeah, or just in the right conditions. Yeah, yeah. Yep,
and it used to be like social media. Like, there was guys who had, I mean, there was one around the corner from where I lived, a fella had a big 20-foot antenna at the back of his garden, and I think he would just go out in the shed of an evening and just talk to people around the planet.
And in the exact same way as social media these days, people have handles, like, you know, the one of essentially the real name on it. Back then, did the same thing. They had a calling signal, calling signs. So people would, you know, use their own handle basically back then.
What's your own favourite thing? Because you, I mean, it does cover the divil and all throughout the, including, as I say,
the
Loch Ree Monster. Yes, of course, the Hellfire Club is in there. What's your personal favourite of the book?
You just said a great one there, the Loch Ree Monster. That's a big favourite of mine. I'm from Westmead, so it's very close to me. The Loch Ree Monster is, Loch Ree, first off, is a lake between counties Longford, Roscommon, Westmeath. And in May 1960, there was three priests on a boat. It sounds like a joke, but it isn't. It's what happened. Spotted a monster, or what they described as a monster, moving across the water, about 7 feet long, with a humped back, head shaped like a horse. They went back to land and reported their sighting. And for weeks after, it led to fishermen trying to find the monster. There was a reward for its capture. People talked about using electricity to smoke it out. In the end, it's never been found. The reward has never been claimed, but there's been sightings before and after.
Of the Loch Ree Monster.
Of the Loch Ree and similar monsters, especially in Connemara, big time Connemara.
And of course, Loch Ree has one of Ireland's very few medieval ghost towns. There's an entire ghost town on the shores of Loch Ree.
That's in Roscommon, I think. That's I know what you're talking about. I actually have been there years ago.
Looks amazing. I've never been, but I'd love to go.
Yeah.
Brinsley, fabulous stuff. The book is Weird Ireland, An Unofficial Guide to the Island by Brinsley McNamara.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.